Hi, my name is Art Kleiner, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Strategy and Business. And we're talking today with one of the most seasoned and eminent and yet human executive coaches and leadership authors in the world today. Marshall Goldsmith is the author of Mojo and What Got You Here Won't Get You There, and a variety of other books and articles about leadership development and about executive coaching and about human resources. And he's one of those people who keeps his finger on the pulse, not just of what leaders do and not just of what leaders say, but of where they pay attention and why that matters.
Thank you very much.
Marshall, you've written a lot about optimism, and you've correlated optimism and success. But they don't quite fit together in the way that most people think, right?
Well, when I refer to what you would call optimism, I'm not talking about some Pollyannish view of isn't everything wonderful, isn't life all good, and sort of denial of reality. What I found is you really need to combine two simultaneous processes. One of them is happiness or joy in what you're doing. And the second thing is you have to find meaning in the results of what you're doing. Happiness is really the process. Do I love the process of what I'm doing? And meaning is the outcome of what I'm doing. Is it important to me? And nobody can define happiness for you but you. Nobody can define meaning for you but you. And we've done all kinds of research on this. And our research is very clear. You have to have both. If you just don't have either happiness or meaning, you're in kind of survival mode, sort of why bother?
Right.
If you have meaning, but you don't enjoy the process, you're a martyr, a victim, you're doing good for the world, but you have a crappy life. If you have happiness, you enjoy the process, but it's not meaningful, it's kind of amusing. And like I counsel a lot of people who are my age, and what are you gonna do the rest of your life? And the first thing I tell them is playing bad golf with old men at the country club while eating chicken salad sandwiches and discussing gallbladder surgery might not be quite as romantic as you think it could be. So you gotta do something meaningful. You can't just play golf and go on cruises. After a while, you just get bored to death with that stuff.
Ordering the salmon won't be enough.
Exactly. Now you gotta have both. You gotta have happiness and meaning so that you enjoy the process and you find it to be meaningful, and no one can define that for you but you.
Do you find people within all four modes in the business world? I mean, are you finding a lot of survivalists there?
I find that it's interesting. Everybody's kind of in all four modes at various points in time in the day, not even in the world, in the day.
Really?
At any part of the day, yeah, most of us have something we're doing that's just we don't find it too meaningful or enjoy, just feel like you have to do it. Part of it is kind of fun. Part of it is meaningful, but we don't enjoy too much. And part of it is meaningful and we enjoy. I find that, you know, as we go through the day, it's not a matter of I'm here or I'm there. It's I'm moving around and even the same activity at various points in time. It can change during the day. So this is happiness and meaning varies as we go through life and varies as we go through the day.
So something like email could be any of the four.
Yeah, email is seldom one of the good ones. Sometimes it is, not usually too much.
So if you are a senior executive, a lot of your research has had to do with employee engagement, right?
Yes, well, I went to a program at the National Academy of Human Resources where I'm a fellow, and I listened to a presentation on employee engagement. And these are three of the heads of HRs at huge companies. And the presentation was very good. I mean, these are smart people. It was very thorough, well presented. 100% of the dialogue is what the company can do to engage you, and 0% was what you can do to engage yourself. I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Everything they said was good, and I did not disagree with anything they said. It's what they left out. On American Airlines, I'm on a three-hour flight. One flight attendant's positive, motivated, upbeat, enthusiastic. One is negative, bitter, angry, and cynical. Same plane, same pay, same employee engagement program. What's the difference? It's not the outside, it's the inside. I'm doing some exciting new research now, and what we have been doing is getting people to evaluate themselves on six questions.
Huh.
And I'll go through each of the six. The first question is, and every question starts with, did I do my best to? Which is, by the way, the one thing in life you can control. And then I'm gonna compare these six questions with what is normally asked in employee engagement. The first of the six questions is, did I do my best to set clear goals? Mm-hmm. So rather than saying, did the company set clear goals for me, did I do my best to set clear goals for myself? Number two, did I do my best to make progress toward goal achievement? Rather than saying, did the company help me achieve my goals, did I do my best to make progress toward achieving my own goals? Number three, back to the question about optimism, did I do my best to be happy? Rather than saying, did somebody make me happy? Did I do my best to be happy myself? Number four, did I do my best to find meaning? Rather than saying, did somebody make my work meaningful? Did I do my best to make my work meaningful myself? Number five, did I do my best to build positive relationships? Rather than that classic question of, do you have a best friend at work? Were you doing your best to build positive relationships with the people around you? And then finally, number six, did I do my best to be fully engaged? Now, we've done 79 studies so far, 2,537 responses. The numbers are amazing. 37% of the people that do this for 2 weeks say, I feel better at everything. Happier, more meaningful, really? Better goals, 37%. Over 60% said I got better at 4 out of 6. 89% said I got better at something. 10.5% say I stayed the same. 0.5% get worse. Almost nobody. Oh. Why? It gets us to focus on the one thing I can control. Did I do my best?
You know, it feels a little uncomfortable, though, to ask that question.
It is uncomfortable. It's very interesting to bring this up. I do something every day called the daily question process. I had a woman named Kate call me up today and listen to me read 32 questions that I wrote and provide 32 answers that I wrote. I pay her to call me every day. Somebody asked me, why do I pay somebody to call me on the phone every day and listen to me read 32 questions I wrote and provide 32 answers I wrote? Don't I know the theory about how to change behavior? I wrote the theory about how to change behavior. That's why I have somebody call me on the phone every day. I know how hard it is. Think it's easy for me? Huh. It's hard for me. I'm always flying on the airplane. That's an excuse to be divorced, an alcoholic, out of shape. A million excuses I can get from that thing. Well, those excuses don't matter. It's hard. I like your comment. It is hard to do this. It's hard to look in the mirror every day and evaluate yourself. It's much easier to blame others.
Oh, that's interesting. So if you're going to take the task of being a better leader seriously or being a better person seriously, you start by asking yourself tough questions and not relenting and following through.
I do every day, and I can tell you it's not easy. I'll share a couple of my questions just for fun. One of my questions every day is, how many times yesterday did you try to prove you were right when it was not worth it? Now, you got to realize, for the old professor, it's hard not to be right all the time. How many angry or destructive comments did I make about people yesterday? Did I say, do something nice for my wife, my son, my daughter, my son-in-law? Exercise. How many minutes did I walk? Push-ups, sit-ups. A lot of questions about life.
How is this different than just the tape recorder of thoughts that people have going through their mind as they're doing things? You know, did I keep up with this? What's wrong with, you know, did I track this thing? Did I finish this to-do? Did I check off this on my...
Well, you're giving the tape recorder way too much credit, because to me, self-discipline is greatly overrated. That's one thing I've learned in life. I mean, you know, I'm more disciplined than most people. Why do I have somebody call me? If I were that self-disciplined myself, I probably wouldn't need to have somebody call me. I'm down on self-discipline as the answer to all problems.
Yeah, I hate it myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
I'm not good at it. And I think we need somebody to provide structure in our lives, or something to provide structure in our lives, because if we don't have structure, then we have to rely on self-discipline.
But you're talking about something that goes beyond having structure, right? Why would somebody, is someone calling you a form of structure, or is that something else?
See, what I'm talking about is interesting, because you get to write your own questions. So I'm going to give all your readers an idea. Are you ready? Or listeners,
if you will.
Get out an Excel spreadsheet. On one column, write down a series of questions about what's important in your life. Every question has to be answered with a yes, no, or number. 7 boxes across, 1 for every day of the week. Fill it out every day. At the end of the week, the Excel spreadsheet will give you a score. I'm going to tell all your listeners one thing. This is hard to do for most people. It is very hard to do. Why? It's hard to look in a mirror every day. It's hard. It's embarrassing. I screw up every day.
What's an example of a yes-no question?
Did you say or do something nice for your wife?
And you presumably frame the questions so that they represent the gap between where you are and where you want to be.
No, I'm actually pretty good at some of the things. I just want to keep good at them. Huh. Some of the other things I'm not so good at, I want to try to get better. You can write any question you want. My first 6 questions are the same 6. Did you do your best to set clear goals? Did you do your best to make progress, be happy, find meaning, build positive relationships, and be fully engaged? Those are my first 6 questions. I don't get great scores every day.
Does it matter if you're a leader, you know, someone or a senior person in an organization, or if you're starting your career or wherever you may be? I mean, do you approach this differently?
You might write different questions. One difference: when you're at the bottom, it's important to win. When you're at the top, it's important to let everybody else win. You already won. So one of the things that changes as you go from the bottom to the top, to me, is winning. At the bottom, you know, you want to impress people, be a winner, show you can do things, be a great achiever. At the top, you got to help everybody else be the winner. You want enough.
When you say at the bottom it's important to win, is that because you want to win or because winning is the right thing to do?
Well, to me, one of the great people I coached, he said, for the great achiever, it's all about me. For the great leader, it's all about them. Uh-huh. Well, if you're an achiever, it is kind of about you. You have an individual achievement, and there's nothing wrong with that. For a leader, though, you've got to get over being a great individual achiever and make it about those people that you're working with and helping them be, you know, winners.
Thank you, Marshall Goldsmith.
Thank you.